One day, a dad named James wanted to do something special with his 5-year-old son, Jimmy. And he asked him, "Son, is there anything you'd like to do special today?" And Jimmy said to James, "I'd really like some McDonald's French fries." And his father said, "Well, if that's what you want today, that's what you get." James and Jimmy got in the car, and as they're driving along to McDonald's, James looked in the rearview mirror. He saw Jimmy's lips moving. He said, "Jimmy, are you singing a song?" Jimmy said, "No, I can taste those French fries already." Well, they got to McDonald's. They went in. They stepped up to the counter, and Dad made the order, and Jimmy could barely stand still because he could smell them cooking. And his smile widened when he heard his dad say, "You know what? Make it a supersize fry." James took the money out of his wallet, paid for the fries, and even bought a drink. Jimmy was so excited, so ready to eat those French fries, they barely made it to the table. But they sat down, and Jimmy reached for a fry, and James said, "Oh, let's say grace first." And so Jimmy mumbled a quick, "God bless this food, amen." Those words seemed like way too many when he was so eager to dig in and enjoy the French fries. And Jimmy tasted the first mouthful, and James was so happy to see his little boy so thrilled over something so simple. Well, he decided to join the fun. So he reached over to get a couple of fries for himself. And his son quickly put his arms around his fries as though he was building a fort. And he said, "No! These are mine!" His dad pulled his hand back and he started to think for a minute about his son's attitude toward the French fries. And then Jimmy starts wolfing them down so fast he can't even enjoy them, because he's afraid his dad might want to reach down and try that again. And Dad's thinking now, "Okay, wait a minute. I'm the one who drove us here. I'm the one who reached into my wallet and took out the money to pay for the French fries. And I didn't even give him what he was expecting. I gave him supersize. And here he's talking about them being his French fries. And not only that, I was the source of the French fries, but I'm also bigger and taller and stronger. And I have the power to take those French fries back, despite his puny little arms surrounding them like a fort, if I wanted to. Not that I need his French fries, because I still got money in my wallet, and I could go back and buy my own, as many as I want. In fact, I could give him so many French fries that he'd get sick trying to eat them all." And as the dad thought about all these things, it wasn't about him getting a fry or two for himself. What he really wanted was for his son to invite him. Invite him to share the joy. Invite him into the little world of delight he had made possible for his son. He wanted his son to be willing to share the very blessing that he had provided. God blesses us just like James blessed Jimmy. God takes us to McDonald's for hot, delicious, supersized French fries on a daily basis. God blesses you. God blesses me. And he has given us all some French fries. Some of us have small bags. Some have medium. Some have large, and some are supersized. Some are narrow and light in color like McDonald's. Others are cut thick and darker like Rallies. Some are straight. Some come from Arby's where they're curly and seasoned. But God has given us all some French fries. And just like Jimmy, just like his dad James, God desires to sit down at the table with us while we're enjoying our French fries, so God can share in our delight in the blessing he's provided for us. While we enjoy God's blessings, we're fine with God sitting back, watching us with fatherly delight. But what if God reaches into our pile of French fries? What if God wants to share in those blessings he's given us? Far too often, we do just what Jimmy did. Oh, these are mine. We try to build little forts around our blessings. Of course, it's easier because it's not actually God asking us, is it? It's just the church. Much easier to say no to an institution. David's prayer that we heard this morning was about building a temple, a place for God's holy name. And he prayed this prayer in the presence of the people as they prepared to enter into this building program, reminding them they are stewards over the good gifts God has given them, stewards over God's possessions. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says, "Those who give generously receive more, but those who are stingy with what is appropriate will only grow needy. Generous persons prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." God doesn't need our French fries. We would all find freedom if we could embrace the truth that it is an honor and a privilege to be able to share our French fries with God. God doesn't ask us to give because he's hungry or because he's hurting or because he's in desperate need. God asks us to give because God wants us to be like him. God has a giving attitude, and he wants that giving attitude to be modeled by his own children. Don't we all want our kids to kind of reflect the good characters and qualities that we see in ourselves? And God is no different. There's that one Bible verse that many people know. If there's one Bible verse that people memorize, sometimes this is it. "But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life." God did what? God gave his one and only Son. In Israel's history, when they're preparing to build the temple, the people had given very generously to the building fund. And they were celebrating because the leaders were pledging their gold and their silver and their jewelry and everything else that they had of value. The people knew that God was the source of every blessing. And David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "It's yours, God. It's yours. It's the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor and everything in heaven and earth is all yours, God." "But who am I," David said, "and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this?" David's words remind us God is the source of all that we have. Not just a source, but the source. It's all God's. All the wealth we've been given, all of it God has put in our hands. And when we give tithes and offerings, we give it back into God's hands. It's like a circle of giving and receiving. In Luke 12, Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. "Sell your possessions, give it to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that won't wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." God wants us to delight in the giver, not so much in the gift. And that happens, friends, only when we build a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We can't grow up in Christ-likeness on our own. We can't do it. We can't become generous givers through sheer willpower. We can give a lot of money because we make a decision to do it, but we don't become generous givers through sheer willpower. We can't pray with confidence or read Scripture with eagerness unless the Spirit of God is at work in us, deepening our roots, strengthening our wings, and growing our relationship with God, who is our Father, who sent His Son, who gave His Son to demonstrate how high and deep and wide and long is the love of God toward us. And yet the moment God pours blessings into our hands, we declare, "This is mine, and I'll only give what I want to give." Up goes the fortress around our French fries. Some of us would love to let God have greater access to our French fries, but I'm not sure I'll have enough to satisfy myself if I do. And then Jesus said to His disciples, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your fries." No, that's not what He said. He said, "Don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, or what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens," Jesus said. "They don't sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. And who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you can't do this very little thing, why worry about the rest? Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." This kingdom that Jesus preached and talked about and lived was all about a gloriously absurd kind of generosity. Think of the best thing you could do for the worst person you know, and then do it. Think of the least deserving individual, and then throw them a party and give them an extravagant gift for no apparent reason. This is how God's kingdom works. This is how God relates to us through Jesus Christ. It's about new life bursting out like flowers growing through a concrete slab. And friends, it's not about following rules. It's not about earning points with God. It's not about copy, paste, and type amen and you'll receive a blessing. God has blessed you. It's not about behaving in a certain way. It's not about giving a certain amount. It's not about reading your Bible a certain scripture amount every day. It's about shifting your life focus from the kingdom of self to the kingdom of God. It's about growing a relationship with Jesus, so God's Spirit can work in you to renew your mind and deepen your understanding that even when life doesn't feel good, God is good. It's about demonstrating who you trust and who you serve. Do you serve a penny-pinching God who's stingy with the French fries? A God who withholds provision, who holds the French fries up on a tray higher than your head so you can smell them but you can't reach them? Or is it about a God who is extravagantly loving and generous toward His children? It's about understanding that money itself is not evil. It's not a bad thing to possess money, to have financial resources. It's our attitude toward the money and every blessing that God has given us that gets us into trouble. Do we build forts around our blessings, or are we acting as good stewards of the gifts that God has given us from God's resources? John 1:16 says, from God's fullness we receive grace upon grace upon grace. The grace we receive is a gift. It's a blessing from God. God gives from His fullness so that our lives too will be full. God blesses us so that we might be a blessing to others. And we can't build forts around our most treasured blessings, no matter how hard we try. Remember the rich man who had so many blessings, and his barns were full. And what did he do? Oh, well, I'll build more barns. I'll build bigger barns to store all of my blessings. And what did God say to him? This very night, your life will be demanded of you. And then who will benefit from all that you have hidden away and stored up in your barns? You could have delighted in sharing the blessings that I provided for you with your family and your friends and your community by breaking down the barriers, by opening the barn doors, by inviting others to sit at your table and share. Imagine the fun that would have broken out in McDonald's that day. If Jimmy had taken his French fries and taken them around to everybody in the restaurant and said, no, really, I want you to have one. Stephen Curtis Chapman is an accomplished singer and songwriter and producer in the music industry. He and his wife, Mary Beth, have been touched by the needs of the children of the world as they traveled around with his music ministry. And he wrote a song called Yours. Here's a little bit of it. I walk the dirt roads of Uganda and I see the scars that war has left behind. Hope like the sun is fading and they're waiting for a cure no one can find. And I hear children's voices singing of a God who heals and rescues and restores. And I'm reminded, every child in Africa is yours. I walk the sidewalks of Nashville like Singapore, Manila, and Shanghai. I brush by the tiny beggar's hand and the wealthy man. And everywhere I look, I realize every man and woman, boy and girl, all of this creation, this is our Father's world. Having been richly blessed in his life, Stephen and his family adopted a little girl from China. They experienced the difficulty involved with overseas adoption and in trying to share their blessings. And so when their process was complete, they established an agency to help other people who might want to share their blessings with orphans, offering financial and legal assistance for American families who desired to adopt children from overseas. And ultimately, they themselves welcomed two more little girls from China into their own home. On May 21st, 2008, the family's faith was tested and their convictions were shaken to the core when little 5-year-old Maria Sue was playing with her sisters in the front yard. And big brother, Will Franklin, was coming home. He'd been gone a while and she was excited to see him and she ran unknowingly into the path of his SUV. And she died from her injuries. And Stephen Curtis Chapman had to write a new verse for his song. I've walked the valley of death's shadow, so deep and dark that I could barely breathe. I've had to let go of more than I could bear, and I've questioned everything I believe. But still, even here in this great darkness, as comfort and hope come breaking through, I can say in life or death, God, we belong to you. It's all yours. God, everything is yours. The scriptures say, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and in your heart you have faith that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Trusting with the heart leads to righteousness, and confessing with the mouth leads to salvation. Trusting in your heart leads to righteousness, and confessing with your mouth leads to salvation. We have to walk the talk. If we confess Jesus is Lord, our actions have to line up with our words. We can't say we trust God unless we demonstrate determination to not only open our hearts to Him, but also to hear His call to open our lives as well and to give God access to the blessings God has given to us, the good gifts and the grace that we've received, grace upon grace, all from God's own hand given to us to care for as good stewards of God's gifts of provision for all the earth. Our closing song today is just a brief chorus and a reminder that God came to give all to us and to invite us to participate in sharing the great gifts of God through our lives.